Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I am Jules Holland.
And I am Jim Moyer. Join us for Jules and Jim's Joyride.
Joyride. Yes, Joyride. Motoring memories.
Train travel trips.
Things on boats.
Air crashes.
Barrows and cycling moments.
Sex on the back seat of a Datsun. Good day. Well, we're here today with a household name like Super Grip or Sanilav or Baxter's Cockaleaky Soup.
Cockaleaky.
Mm-hmm. He's responsible for making literally hundreds of people smile.
Yes.
My comedy partner, it's Bob Mortimer.
Oh, marvellous.
No, then, Jim.
It's only me applauding, but...
yeah. Well, it's
the
nice
Sanilax. Do you mean the
Sanilav.
Sanilav, the pump system.
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, I know the one. Yeah, got to be very careful what you put down now, Jules.
Yeah, I am. I think it's great. It's great to that sort of household name is good, very good. Are you, maybe we could get them to sponsor our podcast.
Might what, Sunny Lab?
Yeah.
Or Baxter's Cockaleaky Soup.
I think Baxter's Cockaleaky Soup would be good. They do a good sausage as well, I believe.
What, Baxter's?
Mm.
In a tin?
I think so. I think they're noted for it.
Mm. I always found Baxter's soup, but you know, it had a bit slight premium price on it.
Yeah, I assumed it? I would have to have a tablecloth if I was having Baxter's soup and a soup spoon rather than just straight out the can cold, which you'd have with the Heinz.
Yeah, but I didn't think it merited it. I didn't think much of it. What? Found it quite watery.
What, which soup?
Baxter's soup. I found them quite watery.
Really?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
But they're the prime soups.
Well, I think
you've been... Did you prefer Heinz?
I much prefer.
A lot of people do.
The Heinz chicken and tomato axis is super.
Do Harrods do their own brand soup, do you think?
No, they probably relabel Baxter's because it seems to have...
They're watery soup.
Yeah.
Harrods
well,
watery soup.
The prime... target of this conversation is about travelling and cars. So would you take a flask with soup?
A thermos, yeah. Would you have a thermos?
Last week I did, and it was the Heinz. It was the Axe. No, it wasn't. I did the Heinz vegetable and the Heinz tomato on the banks of the River Tees. Silver flask, quite a stubby one. Flask.
Did you have it in the car while you were driving?
Yes, I did, in a fishing bag.
No, but lovely. Did you drink it in the car?
No, I drank it on the riverbank. Yeah. That's bad of me, isn't it?
Yeah, it's nice to have a flask with a hot...
It was a tartan flask, was a very popular flask.
Yes, with an unscrewable cap to it with the plastic cup.
That's the fella, yeah.
And so when you have whatever... And it very cleverly manipulates the taste of whatever you're having in there into sort of a mesh mix between tea and coffee, even if it's soup,
it's
presumably.
True.
Yes. So you were very lucky to have that in there. I mean, marvellous, that your fishing programme. Gone for, I mean, what a lovely program that must be. But of course, we're talking about transport in the form of motoring, and we'll get on to some of your early journeys early on, but I mean, in fishing, you have to have all the right equipment, which is my favorite bit about it, the basket and all the stuff, and the right sort of car. What's the best car for going fishing in?
I've noticed most of the proper fisher people have that, well, a lot of them have. You know that Subaru Forester one?
Yes, it's a good name, the Forester.
And they keep it pretty mucky. But it's obviously a workhorse, that car. You see a lot of them with the bailiffs and the gamekeeper-type characters.
Yes.
But you see an awful lot of Range Rovers,
Land Discoveries. In a saloon car.
I go around in my saloon,
Do you ever get trapped on muddy ground?
Yeah, often. Do you know Ashness, Jim?
Yeah.
You know that road up to Ashness?
Yes.
Went up to Watlandath, did a tyre on the way up, went down, got it replaced.
But when you say on off-road or on-road?
It's on-road, but it's got these rocks sticking out. It is one of the most beautiful roads available outside of the towns. Because I kind of like town roads, personally.
Are you tempted to get something with the four-wheel drive now, though?
Yeah, I think...
I'm going to throw this, because you spend a lot of your time in your car. You drive everywhere, don't you?
Everywhere, yeah.
Absolutely everywhere. And I remember finding you once in a car park asleep in the back seat. You always used to have a pillow in your back seat. And do you still do that? Still kip in the back seat?
Do you know, since my heart op, I don't do it. I reflect back on those days, and it one of my afternoon terrible malaise was partly to do with my heart. But I had a place, the best place for a kip that I found, quite hard to find somewhere, Jim. I mean, I found that car park near you, and you come along.
I was going for a power walk. And I thought, I recognise that car. And I looked at it back, and Bob's in there fast asleep.
Oh, lovely, lovely. Quite opposite.
I believe with your thumb in your mouth.
Well, do you change into pyjamas when you do this? Or are you in your civilian clothes?
I take my shoes off, too.
Oh, yeah.
I take my shoes off. Yeah.
Blanket?
No. Oh, yes, I had a duvet in there, yeah, for the winter months.
Tartan duvet?
No,
or
big old soppy white one.
Oh, lovely.
You know, that I got a bit stale. It wasn't suitable for home use anymore, you know. But I found a place at the near the Cineworld in Tunbridge Wells, which was perfection. They overdid it when they did the car park there. So there's a whole one-third of the car park that's available.
So you just go to a far end of a car park.
Yeah, never kept.
What are the regs as far as that's concerned? I mean, sleeping in a car park.
I think you can get 2 hours. I never did more than that.
Did you say what are the regulations?
Yes.
So what is it illegal to sleep more than 2 hours in your car?
In private car parks, they'll put whatever they want up.
Yeah,
exactly. 2 hours, 6 hours.
In your own garage, you could go and sleep as long as you want in your vehicle. But if it's a public car park, I think you're limited to 2 hours.
And
aren't you?
Roland Riveron used to live in his car, didn't he?
Well, he used to live in anybody's car. It wasn't just his.
But it's a place of great comfort, a car, for me.
Mm.
You know, like, say you've had to walk out of the house because of a dispute. Go and sit in the car. And you remember as a kid sitting in the car, listening to the rain, hitting the tin roofs?
I used to sit in the car and pretend to drive on journeys.
Yeah.
Exactly, hold the wheel and just pretend. And I would imagine the whole journey out in front of me, changing gear and everything.
Yeah.
And then my uncle would come and say, you just ruined my gearbox or whatever it is by clunking it backwards and forth.
When I was a kid, I remember having it was the top of a Quality Street tin. And you pretend that was the steering wheel. And then my dad got jealous and actually used it instead of his steering wheel.
But he sellotaped
it. Nailed it on.
Yeah, he MacGyvered the shit out of it.
But going back to sleeping in a vehicle, of course, the other advantage you have is there'll have been more money spent on the research and development of the seat in your motor vehicle than probably your armchair at home.
Yeah.
So you've picked the right thing. But are you sleeping, just going back to the sleeping in the car, are you sleeping upright in like you would in a, or are you lounging on the back seat? Because that's quite confined, isn't it? Unless you've got a very wide vehicle.
I open up the sunroof.
Yes.
And stand and then lie, put the pillow on the roof.
Or put your legs out the sunroof.
No,
I was always a back seat sleeper.
Yeah.
Always a back seat sleeper.
But you don't do it anymore.
I don't do it anymore because...
Is your boot still a trash mount?
Absolute disgrace, Jim, yeah. And it's like, I like car meats, Jules, you know, like, that. You're talking sausage roll, Scotch egg, you know, that area. Pocket meat, car meat.
Oh, yeah, nice, yeah.
And, like, what I tend to get a build at what, because I'm not meant to eat saturated fats, I get a Scotch egg.
Yes.
I take half the sausage meat off and throw that into the passenger seat. Is it called the air well?
Footwell.
Footwell.
Yes.
The air well, where they keep the air.
Yes, exactly. Keep the air and discarded bits of Scotch egg. Scotch
you
egg
have to
well.
Lean down.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. It would be quite foul air down your air well, wouldn't it?
And then I get a build-up of like half Scotch egg exterior, you know, surface. I get a lot of bad smells in my car because of food.
The worst smell I've ever had in a car was when I was in Iceland and I bought some dried fish. And left it on the back seat overnight. And when I got in the next day, it was unbearable. I couldn't actually get in.
Mm.
That's the end of that story.
No, but I like to eat in the car. I'm pretty good at it. I'm pretty good at it. I know.
Not whilst it's in motion. You stop the vehicle. Do you have picnic tables?
I have them in the back.
Yeah.
I never use them, but when I bought the car, I thought, that is sweet. What a sweet extra.
Yeah.
Picnic. Never use them.
Is it legal to eat a sandwich while you're driving?
If you're, I don't think, you know, I think you have to be the passenger because it's not illegal. It's illegal to speak on the phone, Yeah. But you're allowed to speak to a passenger, which I think, and sometimes I think it should, that should be illegal, because there's a lot of people I don't want to talk to in the car.
But can you eat a sandwich?
If you're driving, I don't think you can.
I think
so you have to stop between each bite.
I think if a policeman passenger and sees and is of the opinion that you're not concentrating whilst you're eating your crisps,
yeah,
I think crisps they can pull you over.
Crisps is different. I think crisps you could have, but I think they draw the line at sandwich, because with a sandwich, of course, you'd have the wicker basket and plates on your lap, which might interfere with your view, and you're operating the controls of a vehicle.
I suppose with the crisp pack, we're all quite adept at putting them between our legs and just doing them without looking. But you've got to look at a ham sandwich before you bite into it, haven't you?
Well, I don't know. I'm pretty good at not looking at sandwiches when I'm eating. I kind of know where my mouth is.
Yeah.
And I can guide the hand and sandwich to the mouth without looking at it.
What about when you're opening? Because they're not
your own mouth or the passengers.
So I don't feed other. I don't feed my passengers.
I mean, in this programme, we're pretty broad in our tribute to transport, and some people, you know, like have got cars, favourite roads and journeys, car coats, car foods, car meats. We've discovered from you, which has been very good.
Car clothes. Or would you wear a brown hat when you're driving?
I wouldn't wear that when I'm driving.
Really?
That's weird, isn't it? Would you wear a hat?
I always have a brown hat.
A bonnet?
On the seat when I'm driving.
A white bonnet's nice.
You go for a flat cap, don't
A flat
you?
Cap when I'm driving. I think, and it reminds me of some 1960s rally driver.
Yeah.
Why would you wear one?
What, a brown hat?
Well, it's like you're warm enough, aren't you, in the car?
I suppose, but why would you wear driving gloves?
I might wear rubber gloves. Yeah. That'd be like a nice touch, wouldn't it? Pink ones.
Yeah. Pink fabric. Also, it's got lots of good purchase on the wheel.
Shit, you would.
Yeah. Well, that makes more sense, having a pair of marigolds on instead of driving gloves.
Checkered marigolds.
And why is it on a driving glove that there's the circle of open air on the back of your hand?
You've got to let the back of the hand breathe, obviously.
Well, yeah, because they're full of holes as well, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly, because you need to aerate the hand if it's concentrated on driving and grabbing hold of the gear stick.
But it is a weakness in the design, that big old Jim. I think you're right to query it.
Yeah.
Because it made the press stud bit very thin, and that would get very loose.
And had a propensity to break
in
an emergency situation, which you can't afford.
You go bang into a lorry and your glove flies out the window.
Yeah.
No, with a glove!
Yeah.
Well, you might want to try it, driving gloves and a hat.
Yeah, when you're next to sleep in the car.
Actually, because the biggest problem with car sleep is light.
You know,
so I used to have... I had like a snood that I put over my head, but you could use a hat, couldn't you?
Hang on, a snood? So you could have been mistaken in the car park for the victim of a gangland slaying.
Well, yeah. So look, there's a pint-sized pensioner asleep on the back seat. It looks like he might have been up to no good.
With his shoes off. He put his shoes on the roof.
We could put a hotel, put your shoes outside in the hope that if Jim and I were walking past, we'd give him a clean for you.
We know he's asleep. His shoes are out the back door.
How about any other methods of transport? Because, as I say, we're pretty broad-minded. You know, some people like shipping and boats.
Yeah.
And others are aeroplanes, ballooning. There's a lot of different methods of transport. I mean, in the fishing program, you don't really get into boats so much, do you?
We go out on lakes and the seas on the sea in little fishing boats, but I get terrible seasickness, so they're my least favourite days. I saw a ship going into Teesport the other day, and to pass the time, I did what I would imagine a spotter would do, because you can watch its route, where it's come from.
Yes, the ship
and its
finder.
Cargo and
exactly.
Where it's registered and that. But by the time I'd got that information, I felt quite empty. I didn't think it had taken me anywhere. Really, you know.
Yeah. So you've got that app, haven't you, where you can see what's on a ship?
I did for that moment.
And you've got it, haven't you?
Yeah, ship
finder. You showed
it
to me, and I was very intrigued, because there was a container full of shoes that was going by. And I found myself trying to count the amount of shoes.
Yeah,
and it's billions.
But I think Bob's got a point. If it's a bit like spying on your neighbours, you know, you just feel a bit empty by the end of it.
Mm. Well, maybe I've all bother with that app then.
Yeah.
I used to have a ship. Did you come on my ship?
I did, yeah, and you had a skipper's hat, and it had a lovely circular seating arrangement down below.
Yeah, well, people, because it was moored on the Medway, and I used to try and get people to come and sail with me, but everyone was quite terrified of leaving the dock and treat it pretty much like a floating pub.
It's the truth, isn't it?
And you could come down, sleep on it, and drink endless tins of lager, which kind of defeated the point of having a ship.
What were you hoping for? Sort of a crew dressed as in like sort of 18th century sort of man of war type of thing, and all obeying your commands.
Yeah, pretty much. Because I had all the maps, the charts.
You did have maps, yeah. Charts.
And a hat.
And a compass from Woolies.
Yeah.
Had the lot and fancied
sextant. Myself. Did you have a sextant?
I tried to marry people on it because I could have married someone on it because I was a captain, so I was leaving.
Bury people, presumably, at sea.
And throw them overboard. Yeah. If you want any of your relatives chucking overboard, send them out on a trip with me.
I tell you a good transport sleep. When we had Jim, do you remember when we took the sleeper down to the south of France?
Yes. Now, I was going to mention it because we went on our motorbikes to Christian Dior's chateau. Yeah. And we went on B roads all the way down.
It was great, wasn't it?
And then took a train back.
And took a train back, and we were in like a sleeper. There was just us two in a sleeper thing. And I don't know why it was, Jim, but do you remember we decided to get drunk? It would be the way. But they would only give us one, you know, the French lager bottles are tiny. You know, the little. You had to order one. You could only order one at a time.
Oh.
And do you remember, Jim?
Because
we had about
drinking?
40 bottles.
Yeah.
Because they're only a third of a pint or something. But that was a nice trip.
And we went to Chartres and stopped in a hotel there and ordered from the menu the first thing that came up on the menu.
It was the first thing we recognised, we pointed at.
And it was
we?
About 14 courses.
Yeah.
And then we were thinking, God, there can't be anything else. And then a fish would turn up. And then half a lamb.
It was extra. I thought I was going to die. What was Jules's like? It was a very French place, the menu. And we spotted a dish that we recognised. I don't say it said birth. So we said, that.
Yeah,
we pointed
at that.
But we were pointing at the menu gastronomique.
Yes.
And
with accompanying wine, sir.
Oh, we had pudding. Yeah.
Well, the wine was... The wine list was like a Bible. It was very thick. And I said, well, what's local? And he said, this one here. And it was a pudding wine, which was so sweet, no one could drink that.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. Just like the beer on the train. Lots of it.
And then the next night, we stopped at Lyon and had a hot dog.
Is that what we had, hot dog?
Yeah, because we couldn't find anywhere decent to go and eat. So we ended up... and we did actually go on a huge diversion to go to... Aix-en-Provence,
which was very nice
to get because there was a very good seafood restaurant there, and they wouldn't allow us in because we were bikers.
That's
so
right,
we were wearing leathers and had helmets, so they wouldn't let us in.
Well, there's a bit of that, so there's a sad note, but the point is that we were in the Gentleman's Motorcycle Club,
we
formed a club called the Gentleman's Motorcycle Club. But what's fantastic about this particular trip is I think it's the only time anybody went anywhere, because I think we once went to the pub.
Yeah.
And maybe you once went and got us fish and chips and came back here with them.
Yeah, I definitely remember we went to the pub by the Thames.
That's right.
Yeah.
That was a big event, and we'd made a note of that.
Yeah, dressed up nice.
Yes.
Properly.
Leathers and everything.
Yeah.
But, and do you remember any of the rules?
Well, it's annoying because I've so annoyingly had the book. I might bring it in, and even on a week you're not here, just read them out because there's some superb rules.
I can remember two.
Yes.
Because it was originally based on the Hells Angels trials, if you like. Which was, I think, bite the head off a chicken. But we had each member must present the other member with a roast chicken dinner.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it was much more gentlemanly.
Yeah, yeah. And also, when you pass the lady, you have to take your helmet off.
Yeah, exactly. And I think our motto was care, courtesy, and concentration.
That is correct.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
The three C's of motoring.
And you're right, we didn't actually do anything.
Well, we had rules, we had a trip. I think that's it, isn't it?
Yeah, and lots of people wanted to join, but we wouldn't let them.
Wouldn't let anyone. No. There's no gentleman left, is there?
No, exactly. Exactly.
And you used to, what was it? You had a Velocet, didn't you?
An old Velocet Venom, lovely, yeah.
Yeah. Have you still got it?
I haven't actually, no. I loved it, but I just wasn't really using it. Do you still motorcycle?
I don't know.
You don't bot motorcycle, do you?
I do, yeah. But hardly. Mm. What I do is I keep, they're in the garage with flat tyres. Yeah. So I don't really. When you had an aerial leader.
Yes.
Have you still got that?
No, that's gone.
What a great name, an aerial leader.
I liked it. It was like a little ice cream van as a motorcycle.
And you know, in the Leather Boys, they all decided to have a trip up to Edinburgh and back in a race.
To Edinburgh
and back. And I think Johnny Briggs had an aerial leader. And everyone who saw that film said, that's not going to get that one. circular.
Yeah, exactly. But of course, in that film, The Leather Boys, I met dear Rita Tushingham. She came to the studio to do a radio program, and she told me, which isn't particularly sort of hilariously funny, but an interesting little aside for anybody who's seen The Leather Boys, which is a British motorcycling film with the Mods and the Rockers and that, or the Rockers, that they, when they first got it, there was an American director who'd written it, and they had the script, and it was all things like, hey, daddy-o, I'll race you up the bypass past the busy bee calf, and then we'll get... she said the language was nothing like the language that was going to be used by the youth living around the North Circular at London at the time. And they turned around to me and said, well, this isn't the sort of thing. He said, well, what would you say? So they sort of made a bit up. So he said, right, from then on, you're going to do that. You're just going to improvise the whole film. I'll just give you like a Mike Leapler. I'll just give you the settings. And so that whole film is improvised. Hard to believe now.
And it's a gay classic as well.
Is it worth watching?
I think it's great. I love it. It's one of my favourite films.
Yeah. Oh, right.
There's a lot that's wrong with it, but there's more that's very right.
And of course, it has that thing where it's nice to look at. Even if the script's rubbish, it doesn't matter because it's nice to look at, isn't it? It's nice motorbikes and cafes and things. Yeah.
We went on a doomed motorcycle trip in California in 92. We got there, hired a couple of... What did we get? We didn't want to get... we were kind of anti-Harley.
Yeah.
So we got something that looked like Harleys but weren't.
Kawasaki's or something.
And it started... We did go for a ride around. We went to a science park.
Did we?
Yeah. And then you absolutely... I'd been reading a book about the Bloods and the Crips and the gangs in Los Angeles, and we made a mistake. We did a wrong turn and ended up in the middle of Compton.
I do remember that, actually.
And
a
big van turned up next to us at the lights, and a fella pointed a gun at us through the window and said, get out of here. Well, we just waiting for the lights to change and we're off.
Already revealing your credentials as law-abiding citizens because you were waiting for the lights.
Yeah, and you were very casual about the whole thing because I'd read this book and I was terrified. But we didn't actually go anywhere because it started raining. It was the floods of 92.
Yeah.
And we stayed in a house in Laurel Canyon for 3 weeks with our motorcycles
parked outside. We were going to cross the west to east coast on our motorcycles. When we returned them to the higher place, I think we'd done 19 miles.
We went to a science park.
Did we see a very old fish? Does that ring a bell? A coelacanth or something?
Well, probably. Maybe? Sounds about right. I know, but I've got very keen memories of that science park because I had a chili dog which went right through me, and I immediately hurtled towards the toilets, and they didn't have any doors on them.
Yeah.
So I had to sit there in anguish.
With people looking at you?
With everyone having a look, sweating.
I once went to, it was in a squeeze, we were playing in a club in Texas in like 19, sort of, I don't know, when we were first down.
1906.
1903, yeah. I think it was called Kane's Ballroom, and it had been a famous, I'm sure, was it in Texas or was it in Tucson? I'm trying to remember. Anyway, it was right out in the sort of middle of nowhere, and they had lots of sort of dances in the 1940s. But the gentleman's lavatory area where you went in for the club, I don't think there was one in the dressing room, so you had to go to the one in the club. There was all of the urinals lined up like there would be, and then where you'd like have all the cubicles with the how would we describe them, the sit upon areas for the gentlemen.
Yeah.
They had all of the sit upon areas, but no cubicles and no walls. So there would just be a bloke sort of sitting there, having a big crap. Hi. Right there, you're just having it. Yeah, very, very odd, I thought.
Right, I'm not sure I agree with that.
I didn't really agree with it. I didn't like to voice any criticism in case I was thought of as an English ninny. But I do think that a lot of, you don't have to be a ninny not to think that's much of an idea.
No, I mean,
we've
come a long way since that's what you used to get on the old London Bridge, a plank with holes in it.
What in the medieval period?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So we've moved on, haven't we? Yeah.
We've moved on. We can afford cubicles in our lives now.
Yes. I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'd just like to go on to another subject, if I may, for a moment. It just diverts slightly away from transport, but it's just been something that's on my mind because we had Jarvis Cocker was in here the other week in the studio doing television programme.
Worst driver I've ever seen.
I thought he looks like a bad driver.
Outrageous. I followed him once near where on through the streets.
In his Hillman Imp?
He was in some big white Mercedes, like a sort of 60s really? One. Whoa, he was bad.
Well, give us some examples of his fragrant techniques.
He was just Mr. Wavy. He's just off the road all the time, back on. You know when you think someone's drunk?
Yeah.
He wasn't drunk. And that's how he drove.
Yeah, I've been in a car. He puts his foot on the accelerator and then lets it off. So it goes fast, slow, fast,
so you're sort of constantly bumping your head on the windscreen and then back and then...
Yeah. Well, yeah, and laughing your head off at his techniques.
He doesn't look like a driver, though, does he?
No.
Right?
No.
No, he's just not got... He's like, you know, you look at Lewis Hamilton, yes, driver.
Yeah.
Then you look at Jarvis Cocker, you think, no, he's marvellous at loads of things. But you can't be good at everything. You know, look at us. When I was sitting there, I was just thinking about this, and I didn't want to talk to him about it, because I know he's sort of a bit sick of it. But when I was sitting next to him at the Brits, he suddenly... And I was sort of half midway conversation, he suddenly sprung up, and when Michael Jackson was on stage doing this big sort of rather... And it was a bit pompous, really, and all these children sort of lying around on the floor, and he was up on a crane looking like sort of... Anyway, but then he got bundled off, and somebody told me that all the vast Michael Jackson entourage bundled him off and took him down the police station and said, well, we want him arrested for being dangerous and all this sort of thing. Yeah. And he chose as his legal representation you.
It's, well, I mean, something akin to that did happen. What they did, they did bundle him off, you know, like Men in Black type looking people with the suits and all that. But they put him in... a dressing room, which were porter cabins round the back, and surrounded that. And then I wasn't, I think me and Jim, we weren't watching when we were Jim. I think we were drinking somewhere or something.
Well, I was supposed to do it with, because Jarvis and I came up with the plan to display our rotundas. and I got lost, like in Spinal Tap, round the back, and he got on and he did it. And then he had 17 people as legal representation, Michael Jackson did, and you. Well, you looked very terrified when you came out.
Well, it was. Someone just came up to me and said that something's happened to Jarvis. They've arrested him, and he's in this dressing room. So I went over, and it was just these American sort of FBI looking characters, and there was a policeman there, and I just took it upon myself to say I'm Jarvis's solicitor and I want to go and see him, and these people won't let me in, and this was female copper. She did that. She got me in there to say hello to him. And I don't know what... I had no idea what he'd done. No idea. It was all sorts going through my mind. What has he done? And I said, what? I said, what have you done, Jarvis? And he said, I showed me bottoms, Michael Jackson. What? What? And then it was good. The police were nice because the police really resented the way he was being treated by... Jackson's lot.
They did take him to the police station. They did. We went and picked him up in Damien Hirst's car.
For his victory dance.
And he came out and he got in the car and he said, oh, that was great. He says, because I got this new camera from Japan, and it is one of the first digital cameras. And he took a picture of the toilet in the cell and shows it to us.
No, the cops were nice though, and they said, look, they said to me, will you let us arrest him? Because that means we can take him out of here, and we promise we'll just release him immediately. Can we just get him out of here? So yeah, that's what happened. And then we went back to some hotel in the middle of London, and Liam Gallagher was there, Jim.
Yeah.
And Liam Gallagher, suddenly he announced he wanted to arm wrestle Jim, who sat there with Patsy.
And he did. He said, yeah, you've got it laid on a plate. Yeah, he says, I'm working class. I come from right down there. And he says, well, prove who's the best by having an arm wrestle.
He really did. So, but of course,
did he realise you just come from saving Jarvis?
Well, I suppose I've been always at Jim. You had little babies at the time, didn't you? Develop a very powerful arm. Well, I think anyway, I don't think you needed that. So Jim just slammed Liam's arm down on the table. And do you remember, he flounced off and shouted at Patsy Kensit, right, that's it, Patsy, we're going to bed.
And his brother, Noel, then said, do you want me to fill him in for you? I said, no, it's all right. I think I've proved my point.
Thank you so much for joining this week. I'd like to thank our sponsors.
Sony Discman, Dairy Lee Lunchables, Top Deck Lager Flavoured Drink, and Queens of the Stone Age. I think probably finally, I'm going to ask you this. You worked on the bins. Now, that's a form of transport.
It is a form, yeah.
Refuse collection vehicles. Yeah. That's very collectible.
And I loved those days, yeah. And there was...
How long did you do it for? It was when you left school, wasn't it?
I did it as a summer holiday, you know, as a summer job. And then when I went back to Middlesbrough after university, I got in again and just... I think I stayed in for maybe not quite a year, like 10 months, something like that. But I loved it. It was job and finish, which you don't get anymore.
How do you mean?
Job and finish. It's like, say we had, I don't know, I can't remember, it was 1,000 bins to empty. If you can empty them by 10 in the morning, that's it. Go home.
Very good.
You know, it was a great incentive, you know. And
get it done.
I don't think we ever finished after about midday.
Did you have a donkey jacket?
We were given a donkey jacket, yeah. But in those days... The bins were the metal bins, not aluminium. They were coming in, but I don't know what they were made of. There was this very dull metal, yeah. And the bottom would rust so that they leaked. And the idea of the donkey jacket was put the bin on your shoulder. You know, they had the shoulder bit there. That was to protect you from the bin juice.
Yes.
Coming out.
So it's kind of getting the inside of the bin juice. Didn't know about bin juice. Very nice. Yeah. I'd like to launch a perfume called bin juice.
But they were kind of like a felt material, and the bin juice didn't behave and just stick to this bit, this sort of like plasticky faux leather bit. And then the donkey jacket would the donkey jacket was unusable because of the stench.
Yes.
Well, certainly in the summer, but...
And I mean, speaking I had a friend who was a dustman, but I never really, what I always really wanted to ask him was, what do we do, as Jim and I do, and, you know, because the dustmen come around and you want to show your appreciation. You want to be one of the people that the dustmen go away and they go, oh, we like them, they're a nice bloke.
Well,
what do you do, but we wouldn't know that. What do you do to do the right thing? What would we be doing to do the wrong thing?
I mean, bins have changed a bit now because they don't pour them in. Mm. They mechanically go up, don't they? But,
yeah.
The main thing was, it was an absolute joy whenever someone... You can get bin powder to make your bin smell fragrant.
Oh,
you can, you know, and a lot of...
And we're talking about in the olden days.
I mean, yes, I'm going right back. And some, especially...
You mean talcum powder?
Yeah, kind of bin talc.
Yeah.
You know, you really appreciated it. You know, at least not another stinking bin.
So you'd appreciate it when there was, oh, this is a nice talky one.
Yeah, and I mean the main
These must be nice people, they've talked the bin.
Do you leave a gift out at Christmas for the bin men?
No, I don't, and I have done, but I haven't recently. I feel really bad about it. I think it's one of the best gifts you can give.
It is, do you, Jules?
It's a terrific gift.
Yes, I do.
How much do you leave them?
20,000.
You can guarantee good service from that. Then. I'll leave him 20 quid. You can see the smile, because I look around the corner, I can see the smile on the face.
Yeah.
Faces. And then I often wonder what happens after that. Do they pocket it?
You check the Christmas.
Spread it.
The Christmas was a big share out on the.
Yeah, it would be unthinkable, presumably, for one person at a trouser, that if they got a tip.
I think Archie, the driver, maybe did take a little bit more because he was boss. He was boss. He was a good one. He was like grey silvery hair with the quiff.
Oh, yeah.
You know that, nice. But then the baldness.
Yeah.
The, it's nice. A beautiful look. It works from the front, but yes, no other angle.
Oh, lovely. With Giles.
Yeah, and he had beautiful, like, French blue cotton, well-worn in, not the boiler suit, you know, the jacket and the trousers. Big brown hobnail boots. He looked the business. Yellow hand from Smoke.
Smoker's finger. Lovely. Yeah. Oh, lovely. What did he smoke?
I think he was Rowley's.
Yeah.
It's a good look, though, the bin man. And what about the little skull cap, the little black hat?
I don't know if I had one of them.
Dirty jeans, hobnail boots, donkey jacket.
Yeah.
Now you're talking, really. Yeah. Do you remember that our friend Josh, who was in Procol Harum?
Oh, yeah.
And he told us this. He said, my old man's a dustman. You can apply those lyrics to, is it Nights in White Satin? Nights in White Satin.
I thought it was a Whiter Shade of Pale.
Whiter Shade of Pale. And if you sing Whiter Shade of Pale with the lyrics from My Old Man's a Dustman, they fit absolutely perfectly. And it is it's a big, fun thing to do.
Yeah, My Old Man's a Dustman.
He wears a dustman's hat. He wears cord blimey trousers. And he lives in a council flat. And it absolutely ties
unbelievable.
In perfectly.
Unbelievable.
Well, thank you so much, Bob, for your attention and your kind appliances.
Yes, it's been wonderful having you here today, joining us and sharing some of your transport memories, and also learning, as a lot of the listeners and myself have done, about the benefits of car sleeping. So thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So much. And we'd like to thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye. There goes Bob Mortimer.
What a marvellous fellow.
On his way back, who's riding on a horse and cart.
And do you think he'll be having a sleep in his car on the way back?
I would imagine he'll stop off on a couple of occasions into a lay-by, sort of around the Crawley area.
Yeah.
Probably find him.
Well, he's got a thermos, because you want to hit the thermos in within the optimum time range. You've only got a certain amount of time, then the thermos goes off, doesn't it?
Exactly. Anyway, thanks to him for joining us. And if you've got any reviews or remarks you'd like to make, then write them on the back of a cornflakes packet and send them with a £10 note to some charity.
Thank you. Have you got a motoring-related song there?
I most certainly have. My old mane sits full of the vein, ain't a dilly-dally on the way. Oft went the fane with me own pegs in it, I will be on with me old cup linny, but I dillied, ain't dillied, dillied and dillied. Lost me way and don't know where to look. And you can't trust a special like an old time cupboard when you can't find your way home. Ta-da!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.